Pastor Jeff Johnson on where revival starts and what we should do to spur it on.
Revival starts with us, with my heart, with your heart. It starts right here, right now. And things can change. First of all, in your own life, then in your family, then in your businesses, in your school, and your everything, and in your church. It just moves and moves and moves. So let's pray.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You have not because you ask not, and the Bible teaches us this. Perhaps that's why revival is absent in so many places today. They're not asking for it. We trust you're praying for and receiving some measure of revival, and that it grows. If not, well, today's sound doctrine can really be of some help to you. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 today. Here he is with part one of a message called The Word Brings Revival.
When they discovered the Word of God, you say, well, discovered it, was it lost? Hey, there was only a few parchments spread around. They were rare. And what happened was they hid it because it was during the time of just incredible, crazy leadership. And Amon was not a great king. He corrupted everything. So they hide that stuff. And so here they are in the temple, and they're kind of cleaning it up, giving money, and getting ready for this revival that God was doing in their hearts, getting them back on track. You see, when you get off, you need to get back. And then once you get back, wow, it doesn't take long. You're in it, and you're getting it. And so you start getting into the Word, and the Word does the work. Without the Word, how are we going to be changed? So it's all about the Word of God. We left off, I'm going to try to go back to verse 14 here, and the book of the law discovered. And, you know, there's something about when Jesus was walking to Emmaus with those two guys that were cast down, it says he shared everything that was going to happen through the Scriptures to him and what was up ahead. I mean, he poured out to them this awesome Bible study. I wish we had it recorded. It wasn't. It was from Moses to himself. I mean, he just broke it down to these guys. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when we heard the word? That's in Luke chapter 24. As he walked with these guys, God's word burned within them, convicted them. And as they were breaking bread with Jesus, they saw him. They knew him, it says. There's something about communion that opens our eyes. It causes us to fall in love again with our first love. That's why communion is very special. So it says that, and when they brought out the money. So here they are. They found the treasures that were hidden, the money that was there in the temple, and they brought it into the house of the Lord and to just ask God's blessing on it. So as we do, you know, we bring our tithes and we use our offerings outside of the church, and we bring our tithes into the storehouse. And God brings it in here, and it's used mightily, and it causes, you know, that wall back there to come alive, the missionary outreaches, and just all the things that God is doing. So they're excited, and it says that Hilkiah was the priest, found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So everybody's trying to figure out, what's this book? Which one? There's five that Moses wrote. And Jesus even acknowledged that in John chapter 5. He says, you don't even believe in Moses? How are you going to believe in me? What Moses wrote? But many believe that this was Deuteronomy. It was certain sections like Deuteronomy chapter 6 and about the curse. So it was just a real awesome time finding the scriptures and then getting into the scriptures, or rather, they were allowing God to touch them with his word. That's what made the difference, as we're going to see. So, verse 15, Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I thought, man, that's something. You did what? I went into the house of the Lord and I found the word. Guess where you're going to find the word? In the sanctuary of the Lord. Remember David? Remember when he said, I was so envious, I was so racked, I was so confused. And then I finally went into the sanctuary. Then I realized God spoke to me. Then I found the word. Then I realized they're sitting in slippery places and in a moment can be taken out into desolation because they don't know the Lord. And so he stopped envying them and started to pray for them. You see, this is what God's word does, changes us, takes us out of confusion, and allows us to get really focused on what God wants us to be doing. Because you can get crazy with the voices that are going on, especially in our heads, and all the many voices. But there's a voice that is sweet. There's a voice that is powerful when God speaks his word. Found the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord. I love that. Then it says, and Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. So he was so excited. He wanted to bring it to the scribe. And verse 16, and Shaphan carried the book to the king. So the book is just traveling. And of course it's got to get to the king, to the leader, and pierce his heart so he can just go down from there. And brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. So God is doing a work, and it's coming together. And he's telling them, the temple of the Lord is getting cleaned up, and as we're cleaning it, we're finding scripture, and the Lord is going to speak to us, and everybody's excited. Remember over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is your will, God? It's right here. And God's will is that we know him through his Son. That's his will. And that we know him. And Jesus said, learn of me. You'll be blessed. You'll find rest for your soul. Your life will never be the same. And remember what Mary told them about what to do. You know, there's no wine. And Mary just turned around and said this, and I think this is very prophetic. She said, whatsoever he says, pointing to her son, Jesus, do it. Whatever he says, do it. Don't look to me. I'm a nobody. Oh, I had the greatest gift that was ever given to this world, and I'm pretty blessed. But you look to him, and don't look to anybody else. And whatever he tells you to do, you do it. There's a key there. Obey the Lord. Seek the Lord. Find out what he says to do. Start doing it, and then you're blessed. And then you're walking and being led by the Spirit, being led by this book. Your soul, your mind, you're tying it all together. And he's moving us along, and we're having victory over the flesh. I love it how that inversion takes place when you receive Christ. Your spirit that was dead is made alive. It's strong. And then it rules over your soul. And both of them then rule over the body. And there's victory in him. So, verse 17, and they have gathered together the money. Again, talking about the money. The money is important. Money changes things. Money does things, doesn't it? It depends on how we look at money. No, does money run us or do we run money? You know, do we understand money? I don't think so. I think we lost it when cards came out. Everything, you know. And then at the end of them, what happened? Well, you didn't understand money. You didn't put God first, that's for sure. And then we start doing foolish things. with our money and not asking God, should I do this? Should we do this? Is this meaningful for us to do this? You know, I mean, we have so much income. We got to be careful. This whole society is to squeeze us and to get us owing the man. And it keeps us under. Don't do that. Be financially free by asking God to give you a direction and asking God to show you his word about money. There's so much in it. We've got some great books in the bookstore. Pick up and learn. So the money, and was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseer. So they were good stewards of the money. They gave it to those that were going to use it, and to the hand of the workmen, because there was a lot of work needed to be done to fix that place up. There was so much junk in there. And so they needed this money to do what needed to be done. Verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. You know, when you hear the word read, like tonight, you're just listening with your ears, you're following along in the verses, you're hearing it. Jeremiah said this about it. It's in Jeremiah chapter 20, in verse 9. He says, but God's word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I had to share, because when God's word touches us, just like those two guys in Emmaus, their hearts burned within them. The word of God convicts. The word of God deals with us in a powerful way and causes us to want to share the Lord, because it gives us victory. And when you get victory in your own life, you want to give it away. You want to tell somebody. You want them to be free. You don't want to, you know, you want them to know freedom and truly what it does. And Jesus is freedom. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God is sharp, like a two-edged sword, cutting asunder the soul and the spirit, the thoughts and the intent of the heart. I mean, it cuts deep. It does a great work. It causes us to be just really centered in him. So God's word is speaking to your heart. Say, Lord, give me ears to hear and a heart that's open to hide these things within my heart, that I would not sin against you. So he was given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words. He was totally convicted. Notice the law of the law. It was the law. It was Deuteronomy. You know, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you don't do this, then I'll do this. I mean, it was heavy. That he rent his clothes. Here's repentance. He just was convicted, and that tearing of the clothes shows that conviction. It cuts you. Listen, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. Every revival throughout history of the church, every revival is linked to a rediscovery of God's word. Every one of them. All of a sudden, you're just going, yeah, I didn't know the Bible was so powerful. I didn't know it was the very word of God. And I didn't know if you read it, wow, you'd be blessed. Remember Revelation says, oh, whoever reads this book, you're going to be so blessed if you continue to do these things and walk in the ways of the Lord. But this is really dealing with the king here. It's been said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. Is your Bible falling apart? Look at it. Right now, look at it. Is it falling apart? Oh, I don't know how to get into it. I don't know. Mine's pretty new. When'd you get it? 4 years ago. It's pretty nice. Come on, man. Like a deck of cards. The dealer, he gets into it and he gets to know those cards. Get your heart in the book. Get in it. Mark it. It's okay to mark your Bibles. Just mark it with all kinds of colors and let it just bring forth those truths to you, and you'll know right where it is, and you'll go right to it as you get to know it, and it gets to know you. But notice, he had ears to hear. He's totally convicted. He's tearing his clothes. And then verse 20, and the king commanded Hilkiah And these other guys that are with him there, you see, Josiah realized, oh my God. Literally, oh my God, we have fallen away from you. We are so far away from you, it freaks me out. We're bad. We're in a bad place. We really need to repent. Because he didn't understand that until he got into the Word. You see, it's the Word that convicts us. It's the Word that Paul cried out and said, if I hadn't known the law, I would have never known Jesus because I failed in the law over and over again. So what am I going to do? That's why Jesus came. He came to fulfill the law. He came to come in us to make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when God looks at you, when you receive the Lord, he sees Jesus. And he sees you as a sinner. Don't worry about that. He knows our hearts, right? But he sees you covered in the blood of the Lamb. I want him to always see me like that. I never want to get away from his sacrifice, what he did for me. Because that's a special place to walk in. So notice verse 21. He goes, hey guys, will you go inquire of the Lord? Will you go pray? And he told his guys around him, we need to pray. We need to ask God how to get back with him. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn away from their wicked ways. Then I will move in their nation. Then I will do a work. But revival starts with us, with my heart, with your heart. It starts right here, right now. And things can change. First of all, in your own life, then in your family, then in your businesses, in your school, and your everything, and in your church. It just moves and moves and moves. So let's pray. Repentance causes prayer. Revival, the Word is brought in, and the Word is followed. So look at this. He says, pray, inquire of the Lord for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of this book, for what he heard. And he's freaking out because he's saying, you know, what's God going to do? What is this? What is God trying to say to us? What is the application? What's this mean? And he's trying to, you know, connect. So the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord. That's what he's getting out of the Word as he's reading it. Man, he's angry because we're doing everything opposite of what he wanted us to do. And we thought we were doing pretty good. No, you're doing really bad. And his wrath is being poured out upon us, finally getting it. Because, and here's the reason, our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. That's very simple, isn't it? We didn't follow the Lord. We did our own thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And isn't that today? Isn't that what everybody's doing? And isn't that what a lot of the so-called church is doing today? They call themselves Christians, but they don't live as a Christian. They're hypocrites. I mean, come on. You go, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to go. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. But when you get there, there's one more. So cool that stuff. I mean, come on. We need to get serious with God, and God wants to get serious with us. He gives us his word so we will follow it, so we will do it, so we will live it. So when he says, don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer and don't have fornication with guys and girls, was he just saying that just to say it, or did he mean for us to follow it so we wouldn't be hurt emotionally, physically, and spiritually? Huh? I mean, come on. Either he's God, and or we are God. And if we're God, the whole world's in trouble. And the world's in trouble. Because we sometimes think we got it covered. I'm living the life. I give to the poor. I do this. I do that. And you give your own little philosophy of what lifestyle you're living, which is totally bizarre and wrong because you're not going according to the Word of God. And what causes nations to fall is when they turn their backs on God's Word and do not listen to what the prophet, the messenger, or whoever is speaking, what they're saying. And it just comes back on you to do a number. So it's important to know and do God's Word, not to just read it, but to apply it, to live it, and not just mark in your Bibles, as I've already mentioned, but I think God would really want us to be marked in our hearts by it. You see, that's the power of it. That's what he's seeing. The king is freaking out. Why? Because he's being marked. He's been hit in his heart with the Word of God. And he says, oh God, we're so wrong. We're so off. And then notice Huldah's prophecy and Hilkiah, verse 22, and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess. They went to a woman. Is that weird? No. That was normal back then. You mean women had the word of the Lord? Yes. In fact, in Corinthian church, Paul told them, let the women prophesy. Let them speak the word of the Lord. But they can't be pastors and they can't rule over men. It's better that God uses a man. But if there's not a man to be used, he raises up a woman. And we see that all the time. He'll use whoever's ready to be used. You see, God's waiting on all of us. Are you available? Are you open to do this? Oh, I got a job. No, I can't do anything. My hands are tied. I can't move. Well, God just wants us to get a little flexible and just say, you know what? I'm going to try that ministry. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to get involved in this outreach, and I'm just going to do it. Oh, you're going to get hooked. Because as you minister, you are ministered to. And that's a key. And that's important. So they go to this woman prophetess, and verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, because they were looking for what. Now, give us some hints of what this means and what is God really saying here. And so she begins to tell them. And verse 24, and thus says the Lord. So that's important, isn't it? This is what God is saying. This is the word of God to Josiah. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. This is not good news. Even all the curses. That's, again, why they look at this book that they found, Deuteronomy, because it talks about the curses of God. If you don't do this, then curses will come upon you. I mean, it's pretty heavy. The curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. So it's not good news. It's bad news. When we got into Revelation, we were in it, well, how long? 2 years? Was that good news or bad news? That was good news because Jesus is coming. Bad news for the earth because it's going to end.
Well, good news for some, bad news for others. But God is faithful to send his messengers because it's his heart to save. Well, there is still more to discover about this good news, bad news scenario, and we'll do that next time when Pastor Jeff Johnson returns to Sound Doctrine. We've been in 2 Chronicles 34 on this Monday. Well, remember, you can always access these studies when you visit our website at sounddoctrineradio.org. If you have a smartphone or tablet, you can download the free app. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message. When you call 800-353-7553, and just mention today's date, and the suggested donation is $5. Well, the past year and a half has been super challenging. Many of us have been struggling with fear. Some are afraid of getting COVID. Others afraid of dying. Some fear losing their job. Well, if that describes you, we'd like to encourage you to order a copy of Face Your Fears. You can move from fear to faith, and Pastor Ed Taylor explains how in this helpful little book, again entitled Face Your Fears. It is our featured resource this month at Sound Doctrine. Call us right now, 800-353-7553, or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. And when you give to support Sound Doctrine, you're helping to make this daily radio program possible. And we are very grateful for each and every gift that does come in. We wish we had the time to tell you all the good things God is doing in and through Sound Doctrine. To donate, again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Well, thank you again for being in our listening family. And join us next time when Pastor Jeff returns with more Sound Doctrine from the book of 2 Chronicles. This program is presented by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So, Father,